right. Thanks everyone for joining us here on Double Line Minutes. I'm Sam Lau here with Eric Dull.
Hey, hey, hey.
All right, Eric, we're here recording at our newly appointed summer schedule time of 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Today is May 24, 2024. We're getting an early start to the unofficial start of summer, which comes on Memorial Day. So we're just sitting here in front of the long weekend, getting ready for that. In terms of what we're going to be talking about today, let's kick it off right out the gate with the market summary. So, as you would surmise from the early start time on the recording, we do not have the full week to date numbers to the close yet, but here's where we are thus far at this time. S&P 500 flat on the week to date basis. The best performing sector right now is, and looks like it will be through the close, is technology, barring anything pretty drastic in any of the other sectors here.
Let's be honest, though, it's not a sector-driven rally. It's a one-name rally.
Yeah, one name and maybe a small cohort. The technology sector, if I remember correctly, is a pretty small has a pretty small number of constituents within there, something in like around 62 constituents, but really probably driven by one and maybe a few friends there. But NVIDIA reported earnings after the close on Wednesday, if I remember correctly. Eric, correct me if I'm wrong there. And that was something that was much anticipated and watched as well. But that really driving not only the performance of that one sector, but the S&P 500 as well, as the breadth was pretty poor across the other sectors here. But technology here up 1.6% thus far on the week to date. We do got comm services up 30 basis points, which does also participate in some of that AI driven. Trying to find a good word here. I'm just going to stick with euphoria for at this point. Does participate in some of that, so that's up 30 basis points, as I said. And then the remaining sectors here are all showing a negative print in the front of it thus far. Industrials the next best performer, but that's down 70 basis points. Worst two sectors of the week to date performance thus far are real estate and energy sectors, both down over 3.5% on the week to date basis. When we take a look at it for a year to date, that puts the S&P 500 up to 11.8% on a year to date basis. And now technology, I think we commented this on either in the past few weeks, but technology had been a little bit of a drag on the S&P 500, underperforming the broader index up until that point. But given the strength of this month's performance and largely this week's performance of technology, that sector is now outperforming the broader ag up over 12 percentage points on the year-to-date basis now. When we take a look at the losers here, real estate continues to be that laggard, down 6% on the year-to-date. Again, that healthy boost on the way down of the negative 3.5% on the week-to-date certainly puts it in that direction as well. Consumer discretionary also within that camp, though, with the negative performance on the year-to-date basis, that's down 1.4%. Everything else in the green on the year-to-date performance window period for those remaining sectors there. Moving over to fixed income land, rates thus far, let's see, where am I looking at here? Rates thus far across the curve, up higher on the week. Really getting a little bit of a more of an inversion here. You've got the 2-year Treasury note right now at 4.95, up 12 basis points over the previous week in terms of the yield. The 10-year Treasury note is at 4.47, up 5 basis points in yield over the previous week, and the bond up 2 basis points in yield to this point right now of the recording at a yield of 4.58%. So what that meant for the broader bond index, the Bloomberg U.S. bond aggregate, that is down about a quarter point thus far week to date. The only positive print right now that we have is the bank loan sector benefiting a little bit from that push higher in yields. As far as everything else, I see a negative sign in front of each one of the remaining sectors that we cover within the fixed income universe. Leading the way down is emerging market sovereign debt, down over half a point. And then when we take a look at the traditional sectors of the bond market, those that comprise the aggregate, U.S. Treasuries down about a quarter point, IG down about a quarter point, IG corporate credit, that is, down about a quarter point. And then we have agency mortgage-backed securities down about 30 basis points. And then just to round it all out, we've got high yield corporate credit down about 30 basis points as well. Moving over to the commodity market, broad commodities as measured by the Bloomberg Commodity Index down about half a point on a week-to-date basis, and still maintaining this positive performance on the year-to-date, up 9%. And then when we take a look at the individual commodities, looking here at front month WTI commodity futures, we have, or crude oil futures, I should say, that's down almost 3% on the week-to-date basis. It's down below the $80 handle, and it's sitting right beneath $78 a barrel of WTI crude oil on the front month futures basis there. On the year-to-date basis, though, if you're just looking at that price return, it's still up nearly 9% on that year-to-date. Gold dropped below 2,400. It's now sitting here just a little bit above $2,300 an ounce. That's down 3% on the week, but still up nearly 13% on that front month contract basis for gold futures there. So with that quick roundup of a mixed week here for financial markets, why don't you kick us off on what happened in the macro front?
Yeah, definitely a kind of a mixed week. Very thin rally, kind of boosted by those euphoric animal spirits you mentioned, and we'll just see how long those spirits are unleashed. In the macro land, we got the FOMC meeting minutes on Wednesday, May 22nd, and I'm not going to go through them in full detail, but a few things I found kind of interesting. One of the comments, and the meeting minutes are really kind of what they want you to hear. So it's not just everything that was said. A few participants noted that financial conditions appeared favorable for wealthy households. Oh, really? I mean, if you look at financial conditions, for example, just looking at like the Bloomberg Financial Conditions Index, that it's at a very high level. So even though rates are high, financial conditions are loose if you have access to credit. And I do think that that's one of the unfortunate realities in the U.S. economy right now is if you have access to credit, yeah, your rates are higher, but you still have access. Whereas it's the smaller and medium businesses, the less wealthy people in the U.S. economy that are really getting squeezed by the higher rates and higher inflation. If you think about another thing that was mentioned is all the participants were on board with slowing quantitative tightening. So that's pretty much a lock where the quantitative tightening is going to be reduced. There's gonna, the monthly redemption cap on Treasury securities is going to go from $60 billion to $25 billion, and they're going to maintain the monthly redemption cap on agency debt and agency mortgage-backed securities at 35. So that kind of, that's definitely going to be supportive for fixed income yields incrementally.
Now,
And
do you
then
think that kicks off in practice on June 3rd for those keeping track there in terms of the changes in the quantitative tightening?
yeah, that's a good point. And lastly, to one thing to note is I kind of found this interesting. They said, be although monetary policy was seen as restrictive, many participants commented on their uncertainty about the degree of restrictiveness. So they're kind of befuddled there. The deputy CIO of DoubleLine was on Fox Business this week, and he said the Fed's in between a rock and a hard place, and I couldn't agree more with that. They're just like, yeah, rates are restrictive, but they don't know how restrictive they are, and they don't know who's being restricted. And it's kind of a tough situation right now, and they're just going to sit on their hands probably. And you see that with the interest rate probabilities that Mr. Lal will talk about in a bit when we go into the Fed speak section. Just one interesting thing of note, Goldman Sachs, an investment bank, people often joke calling it government sacks, came out and they pulled back their expectations of cuts this summer. So the cuts are pretty much dead to rights from my point of view. And I think the Fed meeting minutes just made that more solid in my mind. Thursday, we got initial jobless claims for the week ending May 18th, and they came out right in line with expectations and right on the estimates at 215,000. So nothing really to see there. Continuing claims also at 1,794,000, almost exactly in line with the estimates. So there's not much to see in the labor market other than to state that it's still humming along. May not be the best, may not be what it was 2 years ago where everyone was getting a raise, but people still have their jobs. Thursday, we got the S&P Global US Manufacturing PMI, and it's the May preliminary, which I find interesting because it's kind of a look, how's the economy doing now from a manufacturing perspective? Well, it came in with a pretty big beat. Came in at 50.9. The estimate was 49.9. The prior was 50. If we look at the S&P Global US Services PMI May prelim, it was another huge beat, 54.8 versus the estimate of 51.2. So that's a very positive thing from a economic standpoint. And then if you just look at the S&P Global US Composite PMI, came in at 54.4, another beat. And kind of digging into that a little bit, if you look at it, business activity and services was at a 12-month high, and that's an area that the Fed can't control. The CPI ex house, core CPI ex housing, so basically core services is really one of the areas that's driving inflation right now, and that's doing well. So, think about that. Well, what does that mean for the inflationary outlook in the U.S. going forward? Another thing that I kind of found interesting is the chief business economist said the U.S. economic upturn accelerated again after 2 months of slower growth. So, I mean, I don't think that the U.S. is in the, growing like gangbusters, but this was a positive print, and I don't really think there's a way to spin this in a negative light. On Friday, today, we got durable goods orders for, and that was the April preliminary number. It came in at 0.7%. The estimate was minus 0.8%. So that was a pretty big headline beat. If you strip out transportation, it came in at positive 0.4%, which was again a beat versus the ex estimate. And if you're looking at Cat good orders, the non-defense ex air came in at 0.3%, another beat. So pretty much beats across the board. One thing to note is take those readings, those positive readings today with a grain of salt, because there were some pretty big prior revisions down last week. So just keep that in mind. And that kind of wraps up the macro for the week.
Yeah, and with that too, Eric, it's just a kind of grain of salt concept is that these durable goods and cap goods numbers are also the preliminary. So I guess we'll see what the finals are when they come out. We'll be sure to talk about them in that particular episode of Minutes. In terms of Fed speak, nothing really stood out to me as I was scanning the usual suspects that really made their way across the podium this week. A lot of the same messaging in terms of uncertainty around the path of inflation. The fact that data dependency still seems to be in people's minds, so that's always a good thing to me. But in terms of what we saw in terms of the work, in terms of what the market's pricing in for cuts for 2024, it did seem to continue to trend down. Last week for 2024, by the December 18th meeting, the market was pricing in about 1.8 cuts based on quarter point increments there. Today, as of now, we're looking at about just over 1.3 cuts there. So we're continuing to see that the sentiment by the market, just seeing some of the what you had estimated that you talked about there with the government sacks revising down their estimates, kind of in line with the market there. In terms of next week, things to keep an eye on. Not too much in terms of actual number of prints, but definitely some material ones that could be market moving if they miss expectations. But starting out the week on Tuesday, we have S&P CoreLogic home price appreciation, and on the 20 city model, it's expected to come down slightly on a month-over-month basis over previous period, but still it's estimated at this point to be a positive 0.3% month-over-month for the month of March. We also have the Conference Board sentiment indicators out there for the surveys, and with that, we'll see a host of just the broader consumer confidence as well as the present situation, their consumers' expectation for their the future as well as their present situation. So we'll be sure to talk about that to see if there's anything significant being reported on that survey there. We'll also have the second estimate of first quarter GDP, which is expected to line up at about 1.3% real positive on an annualized basis. And then on Friday is where we'll have some of the potentially big hitter data come in. We'll have personal income and spending, a little bit of indication on how the U.S. consumer is doing for the month of April, which is what that report will be for. And that's also followed along by the PCE data. Right now, we're expected on the year-over-year basis to be pretty much flat for the month of April for the headline PCE at 2.7. And then flat as well for the core deflator at 2.8 over the previous period. That'll pretty much wrap up next week's shortened schedule in terms of macroeconomic data print. Be sure to tune in to Monday Morning Minutes on, it'd be the month end, May 31st, where we'll do the, the usual macro and market roundup. But this time with the month of May thrown in there as well for the monthly market roundup on that. But that pretty much wraps us up for this week, Eric.
Yeah, thanks to our listeners out there today on DL Minutes. Hit us up on X at DLine Minutes or send us an email at minutes@doubleline.com with any of your questions, comments, or suggestions.
Yeah, and then don't forget to check out our YouTube channel at YouTube. You can search for us under Double Blind Capital. There, we just posted up a new video just a few hours ago. Looks like just early this morning or late last night, it looks like. And there we have Jeffrey Gundlach having a conversation with portfolio manager Sam Garza, where Gundlach goes over his thinking on the global macro, trying to think through this, the outlook for a recession, and then also, talking about that government program that many people have their eyes on, the Social Security program that we have here as the social safety net, his thoughts around that. And then also, if you check out our LinkedIn Between the Lines blog there, it looks like the macro asset allocation team there just put out a new piece on the reversal of U.S. exceptionalism. And they're, at least they're going to be looking at some of the recent host of economic data and taking a look at kind of these surprises and disappointments relative to expectations and the economic data there. So I want to thank everyone for tuning in and hope everyone has a great long weekend.
Yeah, thanks and good luck out there. Happy Memorial Day and remember those vets.
Yeah, and take a moment, as I always say each year, is a moment to reflect why we have Memorial Day. It's not just about the backyard barbecues.
This presentation was recorded on the date indicated. Views and opinions expressed herein are those of the individual and do not necessarily reflect the views of DoubleLine Capital LP, its affiliates, or employees, should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any securities, and are subject to change without notice. DoubleLine has no obligation to provide any updates or changes. The presentation represents DoubleLine's intellectual property. No portion of this presentation may be published, reproduced, transmitted, or rebroadcast in any media, in any form, without the express written permission of DoubleLine. DoubleLine has no obligation to provide any updates or changes. To receive permission from DoubleLine, please contact media at doubleline.com. Neither DoubleLine nor any of its affiliates makes any representations or warranties regarding the accuracy or completeness of the statements or any information contained in this material. Liability, including any direct, indirect, or consequential loss or damage, is explicitly disclaimed. DoubleLine is not providing any financial, economic, legal, accounting, or tax advice. The receipt of this presentation by any listener should not be construed as the provision of investment advice by any DoubleLine entity or individual, nor does it imply that such person becomes a client of any DoubleLine entity. The portfolio risk management process includes an effort to monitor and manage risk, but it does not imply low risk. Copyright 2024, DoubleLine Capital.